Good morning and welcome to Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt alongside Kyle Etherington here on this Inside the Huddle brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers. You can listen to Inside the Huddle like you're doing now on WILO 96.9, 1570 AM or Boone 102.7 FM. You can listen online as well via the WILO app or ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. You can watch Inside the Huddle on HoosierLandTV.com. You can also catch the Inside the Huddle replays 7 o'clock right back here on WILO or on Spotify. Just search Inside the Huddle and Casper Media. You should be able to find all of our archived episodes of Inside the Huddle. Kyle, how are you doing today?
Hey, it is a beautiful day for Saturday football, but it's also a beautiful day for semi-state volleyball friends and family. It's going to be a terrific, terrific day. You got the coffee ready to go for our full day of extravaganza continuing?
Absolutely. We had football action last night. We'll talk about those throughout today's show. But before we do that, we want to talk about volleyball, and we have from Rossville, Coach Lexi Ellenwood on the line. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. Well, we got a chance to talk to you last week before the regional match, and now let's give you an opportunity to kind of recap that regional match, what you saw from your team, because it looked pretty dominant last Saturday.
Well, thank you. We were absolutely thrilled with the performance that the girls gave. We focused a lot last week on the mental game of volleyball and how we can continue to push through any kind of, you know, mistakes or adversity that we see. And the girls really took that to heart. They executed the game plan that we gave them extremely well. And when there was, a few points here and there of blocks or kills that weren't going our way, they were able to just continue to work on the next point, forget about the last one and push on to the next one. And so, yeah, that mental game, I think, is what really took us in and kept us moving through that championship.
And it's the first regional championship ever for Rossville. What does that mean to your guys' program?
Well, this community is such a collective, just one big heart, I feel like, one big family. And so anytime that there is some kind of something to celebrate, we take it and we run with it and we make it, you know, big here. And when something like a regional championship, something that's never happened before, happens, it's inexplainable the way that the girls feel, the pride that the community feels for them. I know that there were instant tears the second that game point was had, and I think it was just a lot of validation and gratification, but also appreciation, because they knew that they, you know, had succeeded for the community that has been behind them this entire season. So that was a really special moment, I think, for everybody.
And, of course, you get to celebrate, but celebration can't last too long, because then you have to turn your focus to this weekend and another potential for two more matches. So what was the conversation with the team? You let them celebrate for a while, and then at what point do you turn your focus to Triton?
Yeah, so we came in on Monday, and we got to sit there and kind of revel in it for about 20 minutes or so and just talk about all the good things that we loved, and then we said, okay, now we have a new match. Now we have a new challenge in front of us. And so we immediately turned our focus to Triton. I was on the film, I think, on the bus home from the regional match. So I was ready with a scout plan and all of that. And we did our review, and then we got to work. You always want to focus, yes, on what that team does and or doesn't do very well. But then you also want to focus on what your team does and doesn't do well. And I think we spent a lot of time this week focusing on capitalizing on our strengths, but also improving on our weaknesses.
Coach, one thing in particular that I've especially gotten to really enjoy about your players is just their mental toughness. Going into the regional once again after having had zero success in the past, kind of describe the difference between this team and other teams that maybe have gone into the regional just thankful to be there, because this team was almost driven by the thought process of we're going to win this thing. We're not just happy to be here. We want to go home with a trophy.
Yeah, prior to regional last week, a couple of the seniors were, chit-chatting after practice, and they said it feels very different this year. last year, I was just excited to be there. It was awesome to win the sectional, and it was cool to get a chance to play in the regional. But this year, we want regional, right? Like, that's been the goal from day one, is yes, get to regional, but take it. Don't just let it happen. Take it with you. And so that has changed the way that we've practiced. It's been still very fun, but very, very focused. I think last year, our regional practices were a lot of fun and a lot of, you know, just enjoy the time that you get to be with each other. But this year, it's enjoy that time that we get to be together and make each other better in the process. So that mental fortitude and that focus has been a key factor in our success throughout the season.
And one thing, Coach, that I've been noticing about the volleyball team's Facebook page is that one day you all wore wigs before practice. Kind of talk about that a little bit. How does that kind of ease the tension going into such an important couple of matches?
Yeah, it's a tradition anytime we enter the postseason that we do some themed practices to celebrate the end of a great season and just keep things light and not so focused isn't the right word, but so down, I guess. I don't know. But we try to lighten the mood and keep it fun while also maintaining that competitive edge. And so we look for those easy-to-do theme days, and one of them was, I can't remember what they named it. They had a catchy name for it, but it was essentially wig day. So you go find something other than what you've got going on and put it on your head. And so the girls have a ton of fun. They try to practice in their costumes as long as they possibly can. And I think everybody's wigs lasted maybe 20 minutes because they were so incredibly uncomfortable. But they made for a very fun little video that we were able to post.
It was a wonderful video. Definitely check that out at the Rossville Lady Hornet Volleyball Team's Facebook page. They were all wigging out, and they were also asking which player is most likely to get a yellow card or a red card, too. So definitely check that video out. But, Coach, going into semi-state, you've got the potential of not one but two opponents that you've got to be concerned about with today. Is there anything that you do differently with the possibility of playing more than just one game in a day?
I mean, yes and no. So as a good coach, you always tell your teammates, or your players, that you're going to be there until the very end. So it's not that we just prepare for Triton and then we just kind of wing it in the second game, right? We do have to be prepared to go into that second game if we do get the chance to do so. But we do make sure that we don't overlook any opponents ever. We never assume that we're going to get somewhere without having to fight for it first. So Triton has been the main focus this week, just in that scout plan preparation. Luckily, the other two teams we've seen at least once this season, so it's a little bit less of the pressure to prepare for something that we've never seen before, right? So we don't have to focus, I feel like, as much on things that we already know. But you always take a little bit of everyone just to make sure that you have a taste of it. But ultimately, and we do a really great job of this, I think, as a team, we focus on playing our best ball. So no matter what's happening on the other side of the net, that does not get to dictate what we do as a team. We play our game, we do what we do well, and if we have to pivot, we pivot from there. So it gives us a little bit to change, but not a ton, not really.
Talking with Rossville volleyball coach Lexi Ellenwood. And Coach, what can you tell us about the Triton Trojans?
They are a scrappy team. They are very good at picking up any kind of tips or chaotic balls that you might throw over at the net or over the net to them. They have one standout hitter, number 9, that we're going to be hopefully targeting in on as well. And then their best blocker, number 1, is actually right behind our best blocker in the state rankings for number 1. So that's a fun little competitive piece that we get to kind of keep in the back of our back pocket. But ultimately, we are focused on playing just our game. And then if we need to pivot our game plan, we do that in the moment.
And you talked a lot about just playing your game and, you know, capitalizing on your guys' strengths. So what are the things that you guys need to do in this first match to come out with a victory?
Set the pace from the first point. We play a competitive, fast-paced game of volleyball, and so continuing to push that pace allows us to maintain control. A lot of teams can't match the pace that we play at. So pushing the pace, we call it no fluff, so not sending any kind of easy balls over the net, always giving our best effort to make sure a tough ball is sent over their way. And staying consistent and disciplined in our mental game. That's been the biggest thing, I think, again, that's carried us through in all of our success. And so we will continue that if there are mistakes that we make or errors that happen. We need to just be able to forget and fully invest in the next point.
And Coach, kind of talk about how your assistants have really played into that no fluff, not just when it comes to putting the ball over the net, but also just being prepared mentally, physically, spiritually, and all those things, because your staff is just as animated, if not more animated, than your players are. And that's really saying something, because these girls are getting up, running to the end of the bench, high-fiving, and then running all the way back after seemingly every single point. So kind of talk about your staff a little bit and what they've been able to contribute with this great postseason run that you're currently on.
Oh, I will happily rave about my coaching staff anytime you ask. I've got 4 or 5 coaches that sit next to me every single day. So I've got Lexi Brown. She's my JV coach. Kelsey Hall is the varsity assistant. And then I've got 2 volunteer assistants in Maggie Boyson and Liz Lashaw. Ann Beard also makes her way to practice as much as she can, and has a really great relationship with these girls from when she taught. So I'm very, very lucky to have the amount of support and people willing to jump into our program that I do. And I do not take that for granted, because I know some programs can't even find a person to step in and coach at all, right? And so I'm very lucky that I not only have 4 or 5 great humans to help out, but that they're also well-versed in the game and focused in on building relationships with the girls. Each of them has their own strengths. Some of them are drills. Some of them are energy. Some of them are, you know, finding a way to talk to people through tough conversations. Some of them are strategy. And so all of us have these different strengths and weaknesses, and we fill the gaps in between very, very well. And I feel like that's the hallmark of a good coach, is someone who can put a great coaching staff together, because I recognize absolutely that I don't have all the answers. I never possibly could. You know, there's only a few skills that I do very well in volleyball, and there are a lot of them that I have no idea what I'm doing. And so being able to find people who can fill those voids has been extremely, extremely important to building a successful program.
It's talking with Rossville volleyball coach Lexi Ellenwood. The Hornets take on Triton at 12 o'clock in their first match from semi-state. And if they win, they will play again at 7 o'clock tonight. Both matches will take place in Case Arena, and you'll be able to hear both right back here on WILO. We'll go live with our pregame show around 11:45. Coach, we're looking forward to watch this match, and good luck to your squad.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it. We'll see you later.
That does it for quarter number one of Inside the Huddle. We'll be right back with quarter number two, and let's talk some Indiana High School football sectional action from last night. We'll talk that in quarter number two on Inside the Huddle.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Did you know the Man of Steel works in Frankfurt?
Superman?
No, Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers. Winsky's is famous for their new and used steel sales and scrap metal processing. They also offer roll-off waste removal, and now they're continuing their improvements with new computer software to have you in and out faster than Superman can fly.
Faster than Superman?
See for yourself at 751 West Washington Street or visit WinskyBrothers.com.
Winsky Brothers, the superheroes of steel.
Back now on Inside the Huddle for quarter number two. Just talked with Rossville volleyball coach Lexi Ellenwood before her team's match in semi-state today at 12 o'clock against Triton. Remember, that match will be broadcast on WILO right back here at 12 o'clock. Our pregame show going live at 11:45. Now time to talk some sectional football action. And we have Carroll football coach Blake Betzner on the line. Coach, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you guys?
We're doing well. So the Carroll Cougars get the victory over Taylor 20-19 last night. It was a hard-fought battle in that game. Both quarterbacks played really well for each side. Cale Peters has a couple of rushing scores. Let's just talk about from that game what you saw from your team.
Yeah, we knew what it was going to be. It was going to be a battle, and it was. I mean, it's we've played them twice now, and every person in the stands got their money's worth. So it was a fun game. I mean, it's not really fun to – I mean, you know, it's fun to coach in those games, but you like a little bit more spread in the score. But it was a fun night for football. You know, anybody that came out and watched that game sold two teams that wanted their season to continue. And you know, I give it to Taylor. They had a great game plan. I'll sleep better that knowing I never have to try to defend number 12 again. I think that'll be better for anybody that has to do that on a Saturday night or Saturday. So, no, Taylor's got a lot of great athletes, and they play really, really hard. And they did. They brought it, and there was never a time where the game was like, oh, okay, this is pretty much over. It was nip and tuck the whole time.
So your team got on the board first with a Cale Peters touchdown run. What did you see from the offense today or yesterday?
Yeah, I thought we played pretty well. I'm going to get back and watch the film. Started watching Pioneer stuff last night, and I'll watch our game again today. But, you know, I thought we played okay. I thought we missed some blocks. They had a lot of guys in the line of scrimmage. You know, so it's hard to play sometimes when, you know, you put 9-10 guys in the line of scrimmage, and that's what they did. And they were trying to force us to do things we didn't want to do. But we got the job done. You know, last series, so we had the ball, and all we had to do was get 3 first downs. We kept yelling, 3 first downs. You know, that's all we got to get. And, you know, Emory Deaton, who didn't play a week ago, gutted one out on defense. He played almost the whole game, or he played the whole game defensively. And then on that last series, we put him in just to block. And that just kind of tells you, you know, how good of a player he is. We didn't put him in to carry the ball, but we put him in to block to give us the opportunity to get a first down. He comes in, makes a nice block. We get some yards, but, you know, we were yelling at all the seniors, Tinsman and Ayers and Handy and Wiles. You know, if you guys can end it, you guys can end this right now if you just get the first down. And they figured a way to get it done, and, you know, we get to play again. So that's, you know, exciting for those offensive guys. They got the job done when they had to get it done.
Absolutely, and now you move your sights over to Pioneer. And, of course, this is a big matchup for you guys. We were at the game last year where Pioneer – knocked you out of the tournament, and their quarterback was able to do a lot against your squad. So what does this game mean for your team?
Oh, a lot. You know, pretty bad taste in your mouth after last year. You know, we felt pretty confident coming in after Frontier, and I think the kids learned real quick. Pioneer's a different animal. You know, they're really good. They're used to winning. They're physical. They're fast. They'll get after you. And, you know, we know what's coming now. You know, a year ago, I don't think those, you know, our young men didn't understand what was coming. But now they do, and I think they'll be ready and prepare this week for that, you know, opportunity to go play somebody like Pioneer. And, you know, with all the history they've had. And, you know, last year I did a thing where, you know, I went back like the last 10 times we played Pioneer, and we haven't had a lot of success. So we're really trying to figure out a way to change that and put our names up there with you know, Carroll up there with names like Pioneer.
Coach, we've talked throughout the season about this chip on your shoulder, especially from last year, with a very similar foe coming into Carroll. Is the chip growing? Is it the same size? Kind of talk about that chip, and how do you translate that into your players while getting them fired up but not getting too down the rabbit hole of negativity, if you will?
Well, I think this team is battle-tested. A year ago, I went back, and I think we were only down one time the entire year last year. So when Pioneer came in and scored 14 straight points, we didn't, you know, we'd never been in that situation, and it didn't go real well. This team has. They've been in situations where they've been down 14. You know, they've been, you know, had bad situations happening, and they've learned how to battle back, and they've been in, heated games. Just like, you know, even last two, anytime in the sectionals, it's going to be a battle because no one wants to play the last game. So they know what's up. You know, they know what's coming, and they know what they got to get done to have success against Pioneer. And everybody's got to be on the same page. You know, we got to have 18, 19 guys that they know their jobs and they know what to do. Obviously, Pioneer's an option team, does a lot of power read stuff. So they're in some different formations, and they want to put you in bad situations. So we just need to make sure that when we prepare this week, our kids know how to get in those situations and know their jobs. So that's, you know, on me to make sure, you know, we're not misaligning, and we don't give them any easy ones because you don't want to give them anything. You want to make them earn everything they get.
Well, speaking of earning everything, there were several instances last night where the goal line stands, both on offense and defense, worked out, and other times they didn't work out. Kind of talk about how difficult it is to defend a goal line stand, but also one thing that I've noticed the last 5-10 years, it's pretty difficult to be able to put the ball in the end zone when you're at the 1 or 2 yard line. I think a lot of people just automatically assume it's a gimme, but yep. In reality, it's not a gimme, because last night there were several highlight plays from both teams on those goal line stands.
Yeah, so you know, you get two philosophies there, I think, and you saw both of them last night. Our philosophy is, you know, pound it, you know, right the goal line, we're going to pound it in, and their philosophy is spread everybody out and try to find a spot to go. And I don't know which one's better, but both of them are equally scary. But, we stopped a two-point conversion that would have put them ahead with 7 minutes left, and that was a huge play in the game. And some guys just came up, you know, Landon Hammond came up and made a great hit on number 12. And it's scary because even if you hit number 12, we hit, you know, 3 yards isn't very much for him, you know, 6'2", 215 or whatever he is. So we hit him at the 3, and he just kept moving and moving until we got more guys there, and we finally got him down about the yard line. And it's not easy. Either way is not easy. You're right. You think it's an easy touchdown, and sometimes it's not. And the other side is, man, we just got to keep him out, because if you don't, you know, the game turns pretty quick. So goal line stands are very important.
Well, also, we talked about last week about the importance of candy stands, too. And number one, how did trick-or-treating work out for your family? Because I know that was a thing that you were most concerned about. The second thing, did the candy taste a little bit sweeter after last night's victory as you were getting ready to face the opponent that you're going to face? And what advice do you have for other people who may be willing to steal other people's candy? And as well, because going into this game, you've got an opportunity to win a sectional championship. How do you steal the candy of your opponents as well?
Well, we'll start with the first couple questions. The community's awesome. You know, they knew his situation, so they had a trunk or treat. You know, a bunch of moms put it together, and so a lot of kids came just to the football game and had trunk or treat and then went to the football game. So I think that's a really cool thing. Again, our community's awesome. There won't be a lot of people not at the game Friday night against Pioneer. It'll be pretty much the whole community, so it'll be fun to, you know, have all those people out there. And they don't know how much that changes our kids. They really don't. When they walk out and there's standing room only and, you know, people everywhere, I mean, it just changes how our kids focus, and they understand, you know, what they're doing, you know, what they're playing for. The other part is, so my kids, we call it dad tax. So we get 15% of whatever they get, because, you know, those Halloween costumes are expensive. So,
right.
I didn't have any last night, but yeah, I probably will today. And then, you know, we've been to sectional finals. You know, we've won 3 sectionals. We didn't get there last year. You know, that was our goal, you know, to win a sectional again, you know, to come back, get back where we wanted to be. So we know what's at stake. You know, we've been talking about it, you know, for a couple years. We need to get over the top, and we need to beat these teams that have been at the top of 1A for a long time. And, you know, again, we want to get there at some point. And, you know, we tell everybody this is our year to get that opportunity. So we're excited for it.
What do you think the difference between last year's team and this year's team? You talked about the battle-tested mentality going into this game against Pioneer.
Yeah, that's a great question. I see the two teams as very similar, except for we're younger. And we've, you know, this year's teams, they had, I think we had 12 seniors last year. Again, we only got 5 seniors this year. So the big difference is how quick will our young guys step up when they play, you know, a team like this. But we played, you know, Sheridan and Eastern and, you know, Taylor. You know, Taylor beat Pioneer last year. After we got lost to Pioneer, Taylor beat Pioneer like 28-6. I know that, you know, that's a tough Taylor's a tough matchup for what they do. So, you know, I think our kids just got to be ready. And I think I'm going to do a better job of preparing them. And I think that last year, you know, I probably didn't do as good a job as I need to prepare them. So hopefully we get that turned around this year.
talking with Carroll football coach Blake Betzner as he gets ready for a sectional championship game next week against Pioneer. And you talk about what Taylor was able to do against them. As a coach, are you now kind of taking some things away from that Taylor game and mixing that in with your defense? Or are you saying, no, this is what we do on defense and we're going to use it?
Well, we don't ever line up the same way defensively. So if you watch our last three games, we played three different defenses probably. So we're ever-changing. So, yeah, if we get through film and we like something somebody did, you know, we'll try to use that. It's just so hard because, you know your kids and you don't know their kids. You know, when you put somebody in a spot, like, oh, that looks good on paper, but that kid might be, you know, really athletic or, you know, can defend the pass still when he's 4 yards off the line of scrimmage. So, you know, you got to really know your kids when you put a defensive plan together. But you don't only need to know your kids, but you need to your starters. You got to know guys that can fulfill that spot if someone gets dinged. And that's the hardest part where, okay, if this kid's got to come in, can he do this job? And that's where you spend a lot of time just making sure you got all your bases covered. And so, yeah, we'll take some ideas, and then we'll just see if it works for our kids. But not many people have slowed down Pioneer this year. If you go back and watch the film, there's not a lot of teams that have kept them under 28. So we got our work cut out for us.
And just looking at the bracket, this game will be at Carroll, correct?
Yes, it will.
So we're looking forward to that. That game will be on WILO. And last year, it was at Carroll as well, and they were able to, yep, to beat you on your home field. And obviously, yep, defending home field is something that's important to you guys.
Yeah, we've lost, you know, other than postseason, we've lost one game on our home field since I've been here. So we take it pretty seriously. You know, postseason, we've had some teams beat us, but during the regular season, Sheridan beat us by 1 point we missed a field goal with time running out. That's the only game we've lost at home. So we take our house pretty seriously. So we got embarrassed on our house last year, and we don't want that to happen again.
Absolutely. Well, this has been head coach Blake Betzner of the Carroll Cougars. After their 20-19 victory over Taylor in the sectional semifinal, they will take on Pioneer next Friday at 7 o'clock. You'll be able to hear that game right back here on WILO. Coach, we thank you for joining us, and good luck to you next week.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for all you guys do.
That's quarter number two of Inside the Huddle. We'll be right back with quarter number three in just a second on Inside the Huddle.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winski Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winski Brothers inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winski Brothers, because size definitely matters.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast.
Today, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 52. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a low of 33. Sunday, mostly sunny and a high of 55. Monday, mostly sunny and a high of 59. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO, real-time weather radar, 24/7 at Boone, Clinton, and Carroll County, dailynews.com.
Back on Inside the Huddle for quarter number three. We've talked with Rossville volleyball coach Lexi Ellenwood ahead of their match today at 12 o'clock against Triton, which you'll be able to hear on WILO. So tune in back at 11:45 for our pregame show. We talked with Carroll head coach Blake Betzner after their 20-19 victory over Taylor. They're headed to the sectional championship game. Now on the line is Frankfort football coach Justin Kinsey. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing better than I deserve. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Coach, you ran into a really, really good Lebanon football team yesterday and fell 48-6 in your final game of the season. What did you see from your team yesterday?
man, you know, I know obviously, you know, not the kind of season that we wanted to have. I know obviously, you know, coming in, there's a lot of excitement. But I think, you know, everybody understands that this is going to be a multi-year rebuild. But like you said, I mean, 48-6 against Lebanon is a testament to how tough these boys fought, man. They were like, that is a football team. If we play them 10 times over, they beat us by 70 on 9 of those occasions, right? That was a really, really fast football team last night. You know, and we've been battling injuries and illness for the last couple of weeks. So I think we ended up only having 19 guys, I think, dressed last night, with another 6 or 7 out for injury. So it was, it was a skeleton crew. The cramp bug kind of bit us at the very, very end. But, man, those boys, I walked off that field and it was hard to not have a big smile on my face after seeing the way that the boys just, you know, whistle to whistle fought. You know, I had offensive linemen going in on kick return because we were out of bodies and stuff, and they were out there doing their job. And it's hard to not be proud of the boys after an outing like that.
Absolutely. And you've talked about it all season, just the fight in this team and the resiliency and just not giving up no matter what the score says on the scoreboard. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, we had a conversation with these guys last night, and I know Jeff Irwin, our new athletic director, came in and talked to the boys, too, and got them all fired up. And, you know, this is not a unique Frankfurt situation. You know, we were talking about there's, you know, Tri-Central just up the road. You know, they win a state championship 10 years ago, and, you know, they're struggling with numbers. And obviously, you know, having the stretch of history that we've had for the last couple of years, you know, it's hard to, you know, get kids in the high school excited about coming out to get tackled by kids that are, you know, like Southmont and Weibo or Cascade are pretty darn good football teams. Kind of a tough sell to get guys to come out for football for the first time. But, you know, we talked to them last night about, like, you got to understand, you know, there's 314 teams in the state of Indiana, and all but 6 of them are going to lose their last game. There has to be something else you get away from this game other than the wins and the losses, right? It's got to be about more than the championship trophies. And we were telling them last night, you know, you're going to be a father at some point, and your kid's going to come home and say, you know, Dad, I'm really not feeling baseball. I think I'm going to quit baseball, or I think I'm going to quit volleyball. And you're going to have to sit them down and say, let me tell you about this 2025 Frankfurt team, you know, when our numbers got whittled down to nothing and we still got on a bus and drove down to Lebanon and took on a 70 Sagarin and football team. And I mean, it's the life lessons that these guys are going to take from this season. Obviously, you know, I'm in the business of winning games, and I'm in the business of, you know, putting W's in the win column. But you got to be able to take stuff away from a season like this other than that. And I think the guys, you know, these guys are definitely going to be better husbands and better fathers and better community members, you know, having gone through a little adversity like this.
Talking with Frankfurt football coach Justin Kinsey after their 48-6 loss yesterday against Lebanon. And coach, I know you've talked about all year, you know, you want to put some wins on the scoreboard, but it's going to take some time. It's going to be a long rebuild. What do you mean by that in terms of a rebuild? Because it's not like you're an NFL franchise and you're selling all your players for draft picks, but you're building up the program from before high school, from the middle school program, from the youth program. What does that look like?
Yeah, you know, number one has got to be, it has to start with a unified strength and conditioning program, which we now have. We have an awesome, phenomenal, fantastic, I kind of don't want to say his name because I'm scared that other schools will start calling, but we have Mason Kelly, who's our strength coach. He's got a kinesiology degree from Northern Illinois. The man is doing awesome, awesome things in the weight room. You know, and before, up until just recently, every program was just kind of like in charge of their own strength and conditioning. And obviously some of us, like, you know, I have an NHSSCC certification, but like my philosophy in strength and conditioning is different from everybody else's philosophy. So having a unified strength and conditioning program throughout the entire school is going to be such a huge part of that. And of course, you know, the majority of people hearing that doesn't sound like a big deal. That's what every other school has been doing for 10 years, and we just are slow. You know, we're getting on that boat sort of late. So that's the big one. We are going to, you know, my football guys are going to start heading over to the middle school to get these middle schoolers excited and thinking about football for next season. You know, our middle school had a really, really solid season. I think they won 3, but they were competitive in all but one of their games. Actually went out against a really good North Putt middle school team and battled till the very end. But we got to get these seventh graders. What's happening is a lot of our middle schoolers aren't playing until eighth grade. They're not playing as seventh graders. We got to get those guys playing as seventh graders, you know, and get them into the weight room as well. We're going to restructure practice so that the middle schoolers are coming over to lift, and then they're practicing after the varsity practices so that our guys can stick around and help them. And then we got to take a really long, hard look at our youth program here in our community and figure out what we can do to get kids tackling, you know, because you got a bunch of third, fourth graders that are picking up baseballs and soccer balls and falling in love with other sports before they fall in love with football. You know, we got to do a better job of getting these young guys to fall in love with the sport of football before they catch another sport.
And Coach, one thing that bringing up Tri-Central winning a state title in 2013, George Gilbert, of course, a Clinton County familiarity on that team. But one thing that a lot of people forget about, the 2009 season, George Gilbert and the Tri-Central Trojans went 0-10 as well. So anything is definitely possible. That just brought me back to teaching there as well, because I got to see all of that rise up from the bottom. With that in mind, that with the season being over and with daylight savings time happening this weekend, are you planning on catching up on sleep, or is this where you lose more sleep because now the off season has begun and you've got the weight room and strength and conditioning to deal with?
Man, you know, I can't even tell you the number of people in the community that have been like, hey, Coach, you got to take a week off, step away for a week, take a minute to reset. You know, I have been coaching since 2001, my very first year ever as an assistant coach. I was on an 0-10 football team at South Bend LaSalle. It was the last year they were a high school. We had 20 kids on the football team, and I think we scored 3 touchdowns the entire season. We were just getting dog walked by people all season long, but I had so much fun with those kids. As soon as the season ended, like, I was going to clinics, I was visiting colleges. Man, I don't golf, I don't fish, I don't hunt. I just got divorced. Like, I got nothing but football in my life. I am back to work. As soon as we get done checking in and inventorying all of our helmets, I'm right back to work, and I'm going to give the guys a little time off. I'm going to push. That's the best part about football coaches. I'm going to preach to the choir here for a second. Every other sport, I feel like, encourages players to play multiple sports. Us football coaches push. Like, I'm going to take kids who have never wrestled before and drag them physically up to wrestling practice if they do this. You know, I'm going to push them to get in the pool to swim. I'm going to push them to do track. But I want these guys, listen, like, football is football. It's not that hard of a sport. I want kids that want to have Frankfurt on their chest getting on a bus and competing against other communities. And we're just going to, you know, we got to get these young men in this program to get out and compete in other sports. Even if you're I got a big lineman, Betty Chuka, has done a great job for us. Hasn't played basketball since he was like a third grader. Like, you're a big body. You got to get in the paint and box out, buddy. Go play basketball this year. But we got to give the boys, you know, a good week or two off just to rest and recover. But us coaches, man, it's right back to the whiteboard. We're right back to work.
And that was one thing I always enjoyed about coaching, because you get to watch these kids lift weights. You get to watch these kids run. And the entire time I'm standing there, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. So I never felt like I needed extra rest much in those cases. With that being said, what would you suggest for the players if they're wanting to get stronger? What are you suggesting if they want to get faster? Because I feel like there's a lot of people out there that think they've got the secret formula, but I don't think there are a lot of people that are really willing to dedicate it. But also, I think there are a lot of people that are kind of in the get-rich-quick schemes, too, with that type of stuff. How do you separate the good from the bad on that?
Listen, I'll tell you, I think, and again, I know any other football coaches out there listening are probably going to be nodding their head in agreement, because I'm preaching to the choir here. I think, generally speaking, and this is the same of recruiting services, private trainers, like, there's guys out there that are doing a great job. There are so many people in your buildings, whether it's a gym teacher, your coach, like, there are free resources out there. The good stuff is just available. Like, obviously, I'm a big Feed the Cats guy. That's Tony Holler, who's a track coach in Illinois, utilizes this program to basically grow speed. And his mentality is basically like, if you do all of the things and laser beam focus on making kids faster, that's also going to make them jump higher, have better squat numbers, all the things that translate to football success. And obviously, some of those programs you have to pay a little bit for, but man, there's a lot of really good coaches out there that when we go to clinic season, you know, we're going to spend 2 to 3 months traveling around going to clinics. And, you know, I can pick up the phone and call most college programs in America and they'll let you in for free just to come watch. The really good coaches are not afraid to share the secret sauce. And I hate saying that because I would really enjoy being able to make a little side income because, you know, teaching is not the most lucrative profession. But
no, what are you talking about?
I'll put out a coach tube. I have all of the secrets. It's $1,000 annually. No, but really, you know, us coaches are so good about sharing, sharing resources. And, you know, like I know here at Frankfurt, like I'm going to tell these kids, you know, there's really good private trainers and everything else. Just get your butt into our weight room with Mason Kelly and let him work. You know, it really is that simple. You know, again, not knocking private trainers because there's a lot of really good private trainers out there, but it's the old adage, you know, if you ask a barber, they're never going to tell you that you don't need a haircut. You know what I mean? Like if you go to a private trainer, they're always going to find a way to get the money out of you. You know, Mason Kelly is doing this on a teacher's salary. So he's in it for the right reason. He's in it because he loves it. Go to him. His one and only existence in this building is to make you bigger, faster, and stronger. Go to him. He'll get you right.
And Coach Sam knows this as well as anybody. If you're preaching to the choir, that's how you get them to sing every Sunday morning. So that's okay to preach to the choir on Inside the Huddle.
Hey, I tell you what.
Coach, we've really enjoyed having you on the show this year, and we look forward to continuing to cover Frankfurt football. And what would you say you want to accomplish in this offseason? You've talked a little bit about it, but then heading into next year, what are you looking forward to the most with this team?
Yeah, you know, again, I think the thing that people are really going to notice as we kind of go through this offseason, 8 seniors on this roster, and of those 8 seniors, you know, again, we're talking about phenomenal young men. You know, we've got Dennis Barkley, Darren Barkley, Dominic Hoskins, Trey Seward, Blaine Barner, Daniel J. Cox, Kiefer Dooley. We're talking about Jaden Boggs, guys that have battled their butts off. We had a lot of juniors and sophomores out there on the football field this year, and all those boys are coming back, and it is, you know, obviously, you cannot replace what those seniors did for this team, planting trees that they're never going to sit under the shade of. But we are bringing a lot of experience back this year, and that's something we didn't have coming in this year. We had a lot of new faces. We lost guys like Rallo, and I mean, holy cow, how do you replace a kid like Rallo? We're bringing back a lot of bodies this year, so I'm really excited just to, you know, I mean, it probably was week 5 before our kids actually were like, oh, that's how you pitch off the option. Like, now we get it. So now we're going into next season. I know I laughed. We went to a triple option clinic, and one of the other coaches was chirping, like, boy, I'm sure glad we came to a wing T camp. Like, calm down. My kids are just learning the option. We have to run the wing T. It's all we know. So, but we're going to be a lot better at this stuff next year, and we're going to be bringing back a lot of experience, which I'm really excited about.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you coming on the show, and we appreciate all the opportunities we've had to talk about your team over the course of this season. Good luck to you in the off season, and we look forward to covering you next year.
Absolutely, man. Hey, I appreciate you guys. There's a lot of communities in America that do not have something like you guys, so I really do appreciate what you guys do for the sport, promoting our young student athletes. So thank you, boys.
That's head coach Justin Kinsey of the Frankfurt Hot Dogs. That'll do it for quarter number 3 of Inside the Huddle. We'll be back with quarter number 4 of Inside the Huddle right after this.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
You know, at Winsky Brothers, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take our customers seriously. Whether you're hauling scrap metal, shopping for new or used steel, or need one of our roll-off waste containers, we're here to help. Sure, we're kind of famous for that giant 70-foot truck scale, but what really matters is you, our community. I'm Jim Byers, and we're grateful for your trust, your business, and even your jokes when you stop by. From all of us at Winsky Brothers, thank you. Find us at 751 West Washington Street, or online at WinskyBrothers.com.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, quarter number 4. We've talked with Lexi Ellenwood, the head coach of Rossville. We caught up with Carroll's football coach, Blake Betzter, and Frankfurt's football coach, Justin Kinsey. Remember, if you miss any part of today's show, you can Listen to the Inside the Huddle replay tomorrow at 7 o'clock back here on WILO, or you can go to Spotify and click or search Inside the Huddle or Casper Media. You can also listen on ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. And we're now here with Clinton Prairie football coach Kurt Schlicker after their team suffered a loss to Sheridan yesterday, 42-12, but score is not indicative of how close that game was. It was a 28-12. Clinton Prairie had the ball late in the fourth quarter and an opportunity to make it a one-possession game where Sheridan was able to get a couple of quick scores late at the end of the fourth quarter to make that score 42-12. Coach, how are you doing today, and what can you tell us about your team?
Well, hey, thanks for having me, guys. You know, I always say, like, there's my favorite day of the year every year is the day the football season starts. Although anymore, you really can't, like, target that particular date because I think
when
you start.
When does it start? That's my question.
You know, and I think that's why today is the worst day of the year because, you know, these kids and our coaches, you know, have been working really since last spring. Obviously, you work through the winter, but mostly in the spring and in the summertime, especially after the 4th of July. You know, it's on. And, you know, for our kids, it's been on now full speed. It feels like 7 days a week, and then, boom, it's over. So the first thing I would say is I'm super incredibly proud of our kids. You know, I thought last night we battled. You know, we dug ourselves a hole a little bit. That's what we're trying not to do. But it happened. And, you know, we had several possessions there where the score was 28-12. We had it two or three times. You know, we got a big turnover before the half. Couldn't quite punch it in. And we had a couple of nice plays there. We, you know, get an onside kick to start the third quarter there. Excellent kick by Journey Post. He just did a fabulous job all season for us and as a senior kicker. And, you know, I thought last night, you know, we were close. I have not watched the film. Not yet. You know, sometimes it's really hard to watch because there's going to be some frustration. I'm sure there's some things that, you know, if we watched it and when we watch it, we'll see that we wish we would have done a little bit better. But I certainly can't fault our kids' effort. I think we had two good weeks of preparation, and I'm really proud of really what these kids did this year from top to bottom.
Yeah, absolutely. You talked about the onside kick. Well, they had a surprise onside kick in the second quarter after a touchdown. They went up 21-6 and then went up 28-6 with a surprise onside kick and were able to punch it in. And then you came out after half. They won the toss, deferred to the second half, and Journey Post kicked an excellent ball. And theirs was kind of a surprise onside kick. It wasn't a real scrum for the football. They were able to just jump on it. You hit it right at a guy, and perfect bounce, exactly what you teach for an onside kick, and you guys were able to recover. Was that when did that come into your head during halftime? Do you know, this is what I want to do?
You know, I didn't. I told one of my assistants, Corbin Rios, I said, we're going to do it. But I didn't tell the kids till we actually got in the huddle because I just didn't want to make a big deal out of it. You know, I told Coach Wines walking out, he's our D coordinator. I said, by the way, I'm onside kicking here. And he was like, go for it. And so, you know, it worked out in our favor. You know, we weren't able to punch it in there. You know, you got to give Sheridan, you know, they were able to make some plays. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to complain about the officials, but, you know, I think that if I did watch the film, I'm sure I would feel like there are a couple pass interference calls maybe that were missed. You know, we had a hard time running the ball on them both games we played them this year. You know, we thought, and we got a couple good runs. I thought Hunter Cooper, you know, he throws it up in there as hard as anybody in the area as a running back. And, you know, Hunter's just had an excellent season from top to bottom for us. You know, he's battled through some injuries. You know, he was healthy last. I think it showed. He had a tremendous game. I would like to say a couple words about our seniors here. You know, at the end of the game last night, you know, Connor Rios is standing right there. That poor kid right didn't even play down this year, and he's crying alligator tears, and that's how much this meant to him. I thought Braden Jarbo last night and really all season was just outstanding on both sides of the ball. And I think I'm referring to him when I'm thinking about maybe there are a few times he's running across the middle. He's getting held. He's getting grabbed. It's hard for me to imagine they could keep up with him, but anyway, he had just a great career. Kai Jacobs last night, you know, we used him all over the field, right? We played him at quarterback. He had an electric, 70-yard touchdown run. You know,
fast, too.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, his speed. And that's partially why we played him some more at quarterback last night. We knew that their defense was fast. And, you know, I thought Kai just coming in like that just did a great job all season, all his entire career. He's obviously going to be missed. He's just a great kid and, you know, great returner, great defender for us. And Brady Allen comes off the bench last night. You know, you think about Brady's career, he's just when we've needed him, he's been there. And that's been for both years. You know, he came in last night, you know, we noticed that they had an injury to one of their corners, and, you know, Brady comes in. We pick on that kid right away and get, like, three straight first downs.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Brady made some really excellent plays. And, you know, Brady just had an outstanding career for us, and he'll certainly be missed. Kyson Abinga, our senior linebacker, yeah, he played with a torn labrum last night. Right? He's going to have to – he hasn't really practiced the last 2 weeks, but he's the coach I'm playing. And, you know, talk to his mom, talk to our trainer. And so, yeah, he's going to go have his consultation. He needs surgery, but that's how tough that kid is. Probably our leading tackler for the season. Just a great kid. We'll certainly miss Kyson. We got Jace Lawson in last night. He's been a senior for us. Jace has hung around the program. Great practice kid. We got him in late in the game last night. That was one of the highlights of the night for me, to see Jace get on the varsity field. Drew Thatcher. A three-year starter. You know, Drew had a car wreck here a while back, and, you know, didn't get to play in the Eastern game. And, you know, he's really battled hard just to get back on the field. And, you know, he'll be missed. Drew's a great kid, a hard worker. He shows up every day, does a great job. You know, we've already talked about how well Journey Post has done for us. I'd also like to mention Brody Atkins. You know, Brody last year had an issue and wasn't able to really play. And this year he came out and started every game for us. At center, and just did an outstanding job. And, you know, overall, we have a couple senior managers too, Zoe Gerald and Haley Smart. I'm telling you, those two girls are dynamite. They just did everything, and they will be sorely missed, as well as our senior group. So, you know, that's why I say today is the worst day of the year, because the reality is those kids' careers are over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't get to put the pads back on and the helmet back on. And so I feel really bad for those kids. I'm super proud of what they've done this year. You know, I look at our season, reflect a little bit. You know, we did play that first Frontier game shorthanded, and as you know, they were undefeated until last night. We go on the road in both county games, and I think we play very well in both those games. You know, we really couldn't play it any better, probably in either one, getting the shutout in both games. You know, then we take a week off because we lose a game. We go to Sheridan, and they did hit us in the mouth pretty good the first time. We come back, we bounce back, we get a great win over Delphi, just a great win. You know, I think that was our best win of the season. And then, you know, you kind of run into the gauntlet, right? We had to go to Taylor, and I think that showed last night how good of a team they had this year, that battle they had with Carroll. You play Carroll, you play Eastern, who's still alive, and then, you know, we draw Sheridan. You know, you draw who you draw. So, you know, our thing was, our motto this year was everything was earned. And, you know, I would say that our boys didn't get too many breaks, right? We probably missed out on a couple of games. We only played nine. We had two bye weeks, and to no fault of our own kids. And I'm not, you know, blaming anybody. I'm just saying that was just kind of a season it was for us. And, you know, our kids battled from top to bottom. And, you know, you ask yourself sometimes, you know, like, how do you measure success? Obviously, you know, a 3-win season, you could sit here and say, you know, this and that. But, you know, I know from the coach's perspective, we couldn't be any more proud of the effort that our kids gave us day in and day out. Great attitude. And this was a very enjoyable team to coach.
Yeah, and it was just a physical game last night against Sheridan on both sides of the football. And we talked about how close that game was. And you talked about the 65-yard touchdown run for Kai Jacobs. Man, the speed that he had on that, taking the option, and he hit the middle of the field, hit the seam, and, I mean, running by both safeties the way he did, he's been an excellent player in his career, and we were really impressed with his ability to just come in after playing receiver for most of the year. I mean, he took a few snaps at quarterback here on some conversion attempts and stuff like that, but to come in and start at quarterback and play as well as he did last night, it was really impressive to see.
Well, Kai, he's worked very hard all 4 years. You know, he overcame the injury that he received last season. And really, there's nothing he couldn't do. You know, you could argue maybe should play some tailback, watching him run the ball last night, how fast he is. And that would be a legitimate argument. Certainly was a consideration. You know, he just comes in and did a great job. I would like to compliment a couple of our underclassmen as well. I thought Gage Kuzmix last night, you know, we didn't play him a quarterback at all. Yeah, Gage played an outstanding game. We moved him to H-back last night, you know, and totally willing, right? Totally unselfish. Hey, whatever you need, coach. And I thought Gage just, you know, had a great season for us at quarterback. But also last night, right, he's contributing in another way. You know, he wasn't disappointed. He understood why we didn't play him, and he handled that like the kind of kid he is. Jackson Price, I thought, had a really nice game and a really nice second half of the season. Once Jackson kind of got up to speed as a junior, I thought he played very well. Alex King was actually injured in practice last week and did not practice until Thursday night. But you talk about a kid working hard to, you know, work that. He had an ankle injury, and really couldn't even walk on it a week ago, last Saturday. So for him to play last night,
he blew him away with that one catch too.
He did,
my
Alex.
Goodness.
You know, and again, had he been healthy, it would have helped a little bit. His brother, our freshman Andrew King, started on both sides of the ball last night. And, you know, what can you say for a freshman to start on both sides of the ball, played very well. Jackson Wells, I thought, played very well last night, our junior lineman. Braylon Hillman played an excellent game at inside linebacker last night, helped us on the O-line. You know, we lost Wyatt Harshbarger to an injury, and that hurt us in the DB territory. Brother Luke, I thought Luke played very well last night and had a great season for us. Trenton Kaser had some really good moments for us this year as well. Hayden Patton. You know, we had a lot of contributions. Ryder Mitchell did a nice job when he was asked to come in and play for us. So, you know, we're losing a lot. You know, I think what we're losing, you know, you just lose that leadership, and those kids are special. And, you know, we have some kids coming back. You know, we're real happy with our junior, our JV season this year. We've got some really nice young players in the program. I would like to personally thank our coaches. I can promise you there's no coaches that work any harder. Starting with Sean Wines, Coach Wines works in the building, our D coordinator, and that man just, you know, you can ask the players about him. Everyone to a T would tell you something positive about Coach Wines. Coach Tom Potts, Coach Potts is just anybody who knows Pottsy in town here knows the kind of person that he is. And our kids are blessed to have Coach Potts working with them. Troy Clark came back to help us this year, help our defensive backs. And you know, I know that, you know, I also was coaching cross country. So, you know, imagine he's doing double duty. I want to thank him for all his time. Lance Pickrell came over this year, and, you know, Lance, a very intense coach, well respected by our players, and he was a great addition to our staff. Chase Lay, minister here in town, has been great. And really for me, Corbin Rios was he's a young coach. He reminds me of me because, you know, he just loves the game. You know, like how do you know, for me, I've been doing this for 30 some years. How do you keep doing it for 30 some years? Because you love it. You love the kids. Number one, you love the kids. Blessed to work with such great kids. It's just, and that's why I said, really, it's kind of sad, you know, kind of emotional because, you know, the thing that I hate the most about today is no more practice. I really enjoy going out to practice with these kids and just, you know, not just working with them, but, you know, the camaraderie you build with the players and the relationships that you get. And, you know, Corbin Rios has a love for the game and a love for the kids, and I thought he did a great job this year. So, you know, overall, you know, I know record-wise it didn't seem like the season we were hoping for and, you know, potentially could have had. But, you know, some of that goes to our opponents. You know, I think our conference is very strong in football, very strong. I thought this season was the strongest it's ever been, and I mean that. And that's not a cut to teams of the past, but I think you could ask the coaches in the conference. You know, I think it showed by some of the scores. You know, Delphi ends up, you know, winning against Taylor there late. You know, Clinton Central, I thought, had a very nice team this year. You know, their record wouldn't show that. Neither would ours. I thought we had a fine team this year. But, you know, certainly Eastern, Carroll, Sheridan, you know, you go through it, there's just a lot of good, solid football teams that we played. And, you know, I thought our kids hung in there all season long, never quit on us, and gave us everything they had.
Absolutely. And now, head into the off season. What does that look like for your guys? Getting some guys, giving them some time off for sure, but then getting them back into the building and strength and conditioning workouts, and then of course getting ready for next season.
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, the weight room is the thing you can control. So, you know, we're going to try to get those kids in the weight room. I'm a believer that kids should play multiple sports. I believe that, especially at small schools. The kids that specialize, I think, miss out on opportunities. You know, so I encourage all of our kids to participate in whatever sport in the wintertime here, or certainly in the spring. But, you know, with that, they obviously need to lift. So, you know, we do have weights classes during the day. We'll offer weights, obviously, after school. It takes a little bit of time here. I always say there's a week or two here of just, you know, trying to flush the season and put everything into perspective. You know, we're going to have several boys. I say several. We'll have a few boys here that I'll be shocked if they don't make academic All-State. You know, we have some excellent students, really, really, really good students, and on our football team. So hopefully we can get some awards out to them, you know, some all-area awards to a couple of our boys, I think, that are very deserving. And, you know, we're excited about the potential for next season. I'm saying if you really kind of look at the roster, you know, we've got some really good kids coming back. But, you know, I think today it's hard to think that far ahead. But, you know, I want to thank all of our youth coaches. You know, our youth program did another fantastic job this year, and all of our middle school coaches. You know, it just seemed like we had some injuries there in the middle school, but I think those guys, Shan Sheridan and the guys, did a great job there too. So, you know, I'm blessed to work with such great people and have such great kids in our program.
Well, Coach, we've really appreciated all the time that you've given us every Saturday morning. I know it's tough to coach a football game on Friday night, stay up late and think about the things that could have gone differently or celebrate a win, and then come in here early on a Saturday morning to chat with us. But we really do appreciate all the time you've spent with us, and we look forward to continuing to talk to you and seeing you around when we come to some basketball games, but then also talk to you next year.
Well, thanks, guys. Like I said, my dad did what you guys did for years, and you know, it's a big part. It's an important part for the community to you know, cover these teams and cover these kids. You know, sometimes I think in the modern day we don't have the newspaper like we used to. You know, everybody used to get that, you know, Saturday morning paper, couldn't read to read the story, whose picture was going to be in the paper and all that. So,
preach.
Yeah, it's really nice, you know, that nowadays we still have the radio coverage and we still have shows like this. And so I want to thank you guys for all you do. And I think it's a great thing for Clinton County.
We truly appreciate it. It's head coach Kurt Schlicker of Clinton Prairie after their team fell last night to Sheridan 42-12. Want to quickly get to our college football pick of the week. We're going to go with the Vanderbilt-Texas game. It's a big ranked matched up. Number 9 Vanderbilt, number 20 Texas at Texas. And the Longhorns favored by 3.5. I'll let you pick first.
Oh, why are you making me go with Arch Manning and Vanderbilt? It's at Texas, right?
It's at Texas.
Hook 'em horns, baby.
All right. I will go with Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt to get it done the road.
Stop it.
On the road. I did go 3-0 last week, so.
Shout out to everybody in College Park, Maryland right now cheering on the Hoosiers, who are 21-point favorites. That's the game I'm most concerned about. But, yeah, I'll go hook 'em horns today.
There,
so
there we go. That'll do it for this episode of Inside the Huddle. We will be back next Saturday with more action as we get ready for some basketball previews and plenty of that going on next week. And remember, volleyball match coming up at 12 o'clock right back here on WILO. We'll go live at 11:45 with our pregame coverage from Case Arena as the Rossville Hornets take on the Triton Trojans from Semi-State. So join Kyle and myself for that match at 12 o'clock. That'll do it for Inside the Huddle. You've been listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers. For Kyle Etherington, I'm Sam Wirt, saying so long, everybody.